As is our custom, we will pause for silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful to you for the opportunity to continue our pursuit of truth. We lift our prayer of gratitude in Christ's name. Amen. With regard to some of the things that were mentioned by the gentlemen who have just addressed you, a comment was made about our new leadership in this country. And I want to relate to you something you already know. But the scripture is clear in Romans where Paul writes, honor the king. I've also taught you about the royal law. The royal law is in place in all categories of your personal life, but it also has to do with leadership. The leadership has changed in this country away from the previous administration. I understand that some of the things that have been discussed, we do not agree with. People get to disagree, I assume. But what we do not get to do is to not honor the administration. Honor the king. It's right there in Romans. And the application for that simply is the royal law. Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. Got that? You do not need to get involved. Let the Lord take care of this. So curb thy tongue. Stay in fellowship and lead a normal life as unto the Lord. We're on page 227. We resume at point 35. These guidelines reveal that no amendments to the Constitution can be altered or removed when just 13 states fail to ratify the proposal. Brazen comments by some who personally claim they will alter or remove some of the Bill of Rights or subsequent amendments have not read Article 5. Such an assertion clearly exposes the person as an opponent of the foundational standards upon which the Republic is designed to function. Only Congress, or a collection of two-thirds of state legislatures, have the power to even submit for consideration the alteration or removal of an amendment which includes the Bill of Rights. It would then take only the objection of 13 states to vote it down. This is a good example of setting a forest fire with the tongue, which is James's illustration in James 3:6. The tongue is a fire. The Constitution itself, nor its amendments, may be altered or removed except by following the directives of Article 5. Now, there is a constitution in the book, the 40 Proclamations. If you need to review the Constitution, it's in there, as well as the Declaration. Now, English has proven to be so flexible that it can accommodate a host of words from numerous languages. It is capable of communicating ideas from an ever-growing vocabulary. And those who wish to convey their ideas are free to do so under Amendment 1's clause, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. This freedom allows everyone to have his say on any subject, any time. The only exceptions contained in the Constitution are noted in Article 2, Section 4. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. The states are free to add to this list, but otherwise, the rest of us enjoy open season to verbalize any thought that crosses our minds. This begs the question, can any restraint be imposed on the general population upon utterances in the public square. Not really. There are cultural norms that are imposed to restrain certain speech and with penalty clauses attached. But these are after the fact. When it comes to the statements of individuals, the only effective restraint is found in the Word of God. And that's what we are busily trying to accomplish here. So this is an arena that James addresses. Divine guidance by James is designed to expose the dangers and the dire ramifications of unguarded speech. Each individual's volition is free to express whatever is on his mind. But the Word of God warns against it. Yet those so motivated use their tongues to express opinions, spread gossip, start rumors, find fault, reject Scripture, and tell lies, all under the freedom of speech. We are under supervision by the God of the universe. You're free to say anything you want to say, but He doesn't approve of every idea that crosses our mind and on occasion emerges into vocalized communication. We have to learn how to go by Scripture. Unless you have authority over somebody else, you need to keep your mouth shut. The product I'm trying to sell to you people who are fallen, as we all are, is that you cannot go by emotion. Christians may have emotion in response to truth in the Word of God and the ramifications of acquiring truth and seeing its application in your personal lives. That's fine. But James has been braying at you. I don't know how many years we've been in James. On Monday, I'll go see my general practitioner for my annual checkup. He always wants to know if I'm through with James. I've been telling him no for the last 3 years. What James is communicating has to do with the tongue. You are free to use your tongue. There's no question about that. But James has restraints that he wants to impose upon its use, because of the problems that verbalized ideas can create. So you have to get around to understanding, what am I allowed to do and what am I allowed not to do? You are to mind your business. Take care of your bailiwick. Leave other people alone, no matter who they are, except those individuals over whom you have legitimate authority. And that is limited. If you have authority over a person in your job, you have that authority, let's just say, from 8 to 5. What they do starting at 5:01 is not your business. You may not like things that are going on in the community. Hell, I haven't liked anything in the community for 20, 30 years. Nevertheless, it's not my job to fix it, except to study the Word of God. Let God take care of it. And He can't take care of it unless there's a pivot strong enough to have the impact on the society in which we function that would address these things. So look, you don't like the way the election came out. When it comes to elections, I haven't liked hardly any. And I've been voting a long time regarding the way they've played out. So why let that bother you? It's been going on for decades, 100 years actually. So why are you just now getting upset? And what are you going to do about it? You're going to badmouth these people? Not allowed to. Do you buy into the fact Jesus Christ controls history? and he doesn't need your help. We can analyze, scrutinize, do all the things we want to do from the prism of the Word of God and say, the prism tells me this is not a good thing to do, and the prism tells me that these are good things to do, say, and what have you. But when you're at war, and we are in an invisible war and always have been, you've got to learn who is in charge, who is the one that actually makes a difference, and it's not you. Jesus Christ, follow that and follow His Word. Let the Word of God guide you in how you use the tongue. And for three chapters, we've been going through this. Yet, some of you haven't gotten the message even to this hour. Although I'm feeling much better now, Joe Henry, where'd I leave off? 45. Way down the page. The individual is enabled to consult his stream of consciousness. Can you do that with efficiency? Select opinions from its inventory? Look, these are tall orders. Let's read this again. An individual is enabled, in what way? To consult his stream of consciousness. What's in it? Select opinions from its inventory. Is there an inventory? Form words with the tongue and express his ideas verbally to all who are in earshot. The ability to form words, construct sentences, and audibly express them is a unique ability among the human race. Animals, birds, fish, and other critters are unable to clearly articulate their ideas. Man, however, is equipped with all the assets necessary to formulate thought and express its content verbally by use of language. Ours is English. And I've demonstrated to you today, it may have been boring for you, but I demonstrated to you today that the development of the English language is polyglot. It drew from several sources, even the French, from several sources, and ultimately became the dominant language of planet Earth. And you know that language. And it is multifaceted with many synonyms. You remember hearing that? So that I can delve into the dictionaries and find that word or phrase that best communicates the Hebrew or Greek idea. Word by word, phrase by phrase, verse by verse. That's why it takes so long. Have to get it into English so you can understand what the originals are talking about. And you can read the Living Bible. If anything needs to be set on fire in the fireplace, it's that thing. If you have a Living Bible, use it to start your next fire. It's not the Word of God. I told y'all not to do that, but I just did. But that book can't strike back with some kind of deal. I feel better now. Man, however, is equipped with all the assets necessary to formulate thought and express its content verbally by use of language. The biological system that enables man to communicate involves the use of the larynx and the tongue to form words with a grammatical system of language. What is thus communicated must have an inventory of ideas resident in one's memory center. Don't turn the page. I know you feel a feeling of that edge, aren't you? That can be recalled and then expressed verbally. Verbal communication is using the tongue, and we've got all kind of restraints on that from James. And we communicate based on what's in our stream of consciousness that have been facilitated to the degree that they can be recalled. And if it can be recalled and is pertinent to the issue that we confront, then we can therefore make the volitional decision to enunciate the idea found there with the tongue. The tongue is the end game. Lots of things go on before the tongue gets wagging. So when you use your tongue in a way that is not approved of by the Word of God, what you're saying is, I have my own ideas, and I'm going to convey those to whoever give it a hearing. I knew a man when I was working with my dad. He was in pulpwood. A lot of people in pulpwood down in South Alabama because loblolly pines are everywhere. And he never hardly said anything. He'd come by the station there, and he'd stand around waiting for whatever. And I never said anything to him. I wasn't allowed to speak to customers much, people that I knew closely. But he would stand around. He wouldn't say much. And one day, one of the guys at work for my dad said, you know, Mr. Jones, I made up his name, you don't really have much to say. He said, I never say anything unless I have to. And when I have to, I make my thoughts known. Otherwise, I got nothing to say. And so what he was saying is, he knew how to use his tongue. That was establishment concepts back when I was growing up in the Deep South. Don't run your mouth. And my dad would say, sometimes you cannot run your mouth. But when you get to the point where you can curb your tongue and stay quiet until it is something that needs to be said and you are confident in what you're going to communicate, then that's the time to use your tongue. And then stand by it. What is thus communicated must have an inventory of ideas resident in one's memory center that can be recalled and expressed verbally. That's the tongue. Now, the whole idea that James is trying to get across is, if you're going to use your tongue, let it reference something that is meaningful. Establishment viewpoint or biblical viewpoint. And if you can't communicate either of those, then it's best for you to stay quiet. By the way, do you have authority over anybody outside your household? You may say, well, yes, I run a business, and I've got people that serve me in my business. And how long does that authority last? Until 501. So this requires a fully functional system of inculcation, preservation, memory, recall, and expression for ideas to be communicated to others. Here are some terms that result in the tongue's participation in this exercise. So we're going to note vocabulary words related to human communication. I've got pictures. Here's a problem right here. All of you are on this picture. The ones that I think are important are underlined in red. The tongue, the larynx, the vocal cords, and the trachea. There are other things. I won't bore you with all the details on those. I drift off when I try to do that. We get the gist from James. The larynx is simply the organ of voice. It has vocal cords. Either of two pairs of folds of mucous membrane which project into the cavity of the larynx. The upper pair are thick and are not directly concerned in the production of voice. The passage of breath between the edges of the lower pair, when drawn tense and approximated together, produces the voice. So you have to be able to do that. It's automatic. Then you have the voice. Sound uttered by living beings, especially by human beings, in speech or in song. Faculty or power of utterance, namely speech. So you've got the mechanics to communicate. So you have speech. the faculty of uttering articulate sounds or words to express thoughts, the power of speaking, act or manner of speaking, communication or expression of thoughts and spoken words, that which is spoken, uttered words expressive of thought. Then you articulate. Expressed or formulated clearly or systematically, to be distinct, divided into words and syllables, distinctly uttered, spoken so as to be intelligible and articulate speech. Then there's language. The body of words and methods of combining words used and understood by a considerable community, the faculty of verbal expression, and the use of words in human intercourse, also the words themselves and their grammatical relationships. So there's always that grammar popping up. So when you communicate, in order to be powerful in what you decide to utter, you need to have a number of things going on, a vocabulary and grammar. The body of words and methods of combining words used and understood by a considerable community. See, that would be our environment here in our culture is English. The faculty of verbal expression and the use of words in human intercourse, also words themselves and their grammatical relationships. Now, all of that comes from the definition of the above six words as cited in Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. So you go to the dictionary. What do these words mean? Well, it has to do with how you enunciate ideas that's in your stream of consciousness that your volition has voted to enucleate. And you pull that trigger. So you have the tongue. The movable muscular structure attached to the floor of the mouth. It is an important organ in the articulation of speech sounds, ideas expressed by speaking, in the act or power of speaking. And if you speak, you use your tongue. And James is making a case of how it ought to be used. Analysis of the unique capacity for human speech. Let's start again with the word speech. Vocal sound in itself is meaningless until the conventional codes of a language have been learned, ordinarily first from the mother, then from other family members, and finally in school. The difference between speech and language is one of application. Speech is the oral, audible expression of human language while talking. Writing and reading represents the use of human language through graphic symbols. Can you read? That was one of the things that caused the explosion of English. They could communicate verbally, but they couldn't write anything down until somebody said, hey, let's develop a grammar so people can communicate without having to use their tongue. So their brain functions. Take a look at this baby here. The question about what the brain does to make the mouth speak and the hand write is still incompletely understood despite a rapidly growing number of studies by specialists in many sciences. A basic understanding, however, has emerged from such study. Did you know that? I did not know that. What's going on here? Let me give you, and we'll look at these systematically over time, but Broca's area. Okay. Wernicke's. Angular gyrus. Acuate fasciculus. Faciculus. And there's a primary auditory area. And you see, these communicate with each other, and the yellow thing here is a thing whereby Broca can communicate with Wernicke. Okay. With that in mind, let's note some things. In contrast to animals, man possesses several language centers in the dominant brain hemisphere. Broca's area is involved with motor elaboration of all movements for expressive language. Its destruction through disease or injury causes expressive aphasia. Definition below, loss of impairment of the power to use or comprehend words. So that's Broca's right here. The inability to speak or write. Then number 14, we want to go to Wernicke. By the way, I was told that my pronunciation of the River Thames in England, I called it the Thames River. And you might ask, where in the world did you come up with that? Merriam-Webster's Geographical Dictionary. I make a point when I run it, if I can verify the pronunciation of a place name or an individual, I go to my dictionaries to find out about that. Learn that in broadcasting. You got to get people's names right. And so I habitually go to those dictionaries, biographical dictionary and geographical dictionary, to get pronunciations. And although I've called it Thames all my life, that ain't what Merriam-Webster said. And Weldon told me that even the Brits call it Thames. And so I apologize unreservedly. I've gone back to Thames. But Webster's told me Thames. Anyhow, Wernicke, he's German, so it starts with a V sound. Wernicke's area of receptive speech and comprehension. Now, damage to this area produces receptive aphasia and inability to understand what is spoken or written as if the patient had never known the language. So Wernicke's is down here. Now, they communicate with each other. That's what the yellow arc is about. Over here, Broca's, over down here, Wernicke's, and therefore, if there's a problem in the brain somewhere, then communication cannot emerge, and the person can't speak or understand, depending on the problem that's prevalent. So again, damage to this area produces receptive aphasia, the inability to understand what is spoken or written, as if the patient had never known the language. Now, Broca's area surrounds and serves to regulate the function of other brain parts that initiate the complex patterns of bodily movements necessary for the performance of a given motor act, the ability to speak. From these cells is the motor cortex of the brain. The brain emerges fibers that connect eventually with the cranial and spinal nerves that control the muscles of oral speech. Now, James is upset about the tongue, but I'm telling you, I'm breaking all of this down. How is it you're able to communicate with the tongue? A lot of things have to go on, and only humans can do this. And there's a picture of how it works and how it doesn't work when this system is broken. Now, there are people who simply can't understand incoming data. There are some people, depending on which side of the graph you're looking at, they can understand it, but they can't communicate it. There are a lot of people who don't have any of these problems, and they can't understand incoming data, nor can they communicate it. So we've got this. Again, Broca's area surrounds and serves to regulate the function of other brain parts that initiate the complex patterns of bodily movement necessary for the performance of a given motor act, like raising your arm. From these cells in the motor cortex of the brain emerges fibers that connect eventually with the cranial and spinal nerves that control the muscles of oral speech. You use your tongue because you can command it to do so from your volition. Wernicke's area appears to be uniquely important for the comprehension of speech sounds. Auditory feedback through the ear informs the speaker about pitch, volume, and selection of appropriate words and other audible features of his utterance. So before you start talking, make sure you know what you're talking about. excerpt. I like this. It's from Richard Thompson's neuroscience primer. Primary language areas of the human brain are thought to be located in the left hemisphere. Broca's area, which is adjacent to the region that controls the movement of the muscles of the lips, the jaw, the tongue, the soft palate, and the vocal cords, apparently incorporates programs for the coordination of the muscles in speech. This is where speech begins. You're able to communicate. You do it all day. How do you even get around if you can't communicate with others? Broca's area. Only humans. Then we have this. Damage to Broca's area results in slow and labored speech, but comprehension of language, comprehension of it, remains intact. Then, on the next page, this is page 231, Wernicke's area, which is the primary receiver of auditory stimuli, and the angular gyrus, which acts as a way station between the auditory stimuli, and the angular gyrus acts as a way station between the auditory and visual regions. When Wernicke's area is damaged, speech is fluent but has little content, and comprehension is usually lost. Wernicke and Broca's areas are joined by a nerve bundle called the arcuate fasciculus. When it is damaged, speech is fluent but abnormal, and the patient can comprehend words but cannot repeat them. So the whole deal about the tongue is wrapped up in these two areas here, Broca's area, Wernicke's area, and there has to be communication between the two, and when there's not, then you have a problem, and people have this condition. Conclusion. The human brain was created by God in Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed, that's Yatzer, to form. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And Adam was able to immediately take in instruction from God. After creating him, God placed him in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:15. The Lord took the man and placed him in the orchard in Eden to care for it and to maintain it. Note that Adam was up and running. And apparently he was able to speak and communicate. Study note. At verse 15, we have this information. Note that the man's task is to care for and maintain the trees of the orchard. Not until after the fall, when he is condemned to cultivate the soil, does this task change. Well, that's where we need to stop because I've gone too long. But we're back to things that we need to discuss in Genesis, and that will lead us ultimately back to James. We will reconvene on Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of noting these things today. We thank you for the power we have as human beings to be able to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit that informs us of your desires and our everyday activities. We thank you for the ability to inculcate your thought in our souls by the ministries of the Spirit. It is our obligation to take what he teaches us, retain it, and then make the practice of applying it in our daily lives. Motivate and encourage us toward that objective as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dismissed.